Legend ID
Good
Steve Nolan.
Tuesday afternoon to everybody. It is April 23rd. This is show
Book Promo Matt Steve
292.
Power Not Fair Many 5100
So welcome aboard. Lots to get to today. We should have some good discussion. We found some things to get into, and we'll get through the playoffs, and then we're going to talk a lot of football and baseball and all that kind of stuff. So without any further ado, oh, let me mention too, we don't have a lot of information on it, but the victims of the Larry Nassar situation have reached a settlement, $138 million is the settlement. We'll get you more information on that.
Yeah,
as it becomes
I think it's
available.
Split by you know, among a bunch of people, if I have heard it correctly. And he, of course, just so those you say, I heard that name. Who the heck is he? Was the doctor at Michigan State who was the team doctor for the U.S. Women's gymnastics team?
Yep.
And abused many sexual abuse.
Many. Yeah, I mean, a really, really disgusting human being, to be honest with you.
Yes. So that's right. So we're going to get through. We're going to do the NBA. We don't usually do the NBA and the NHL first, but we do this time of year because.
Sorry, Pierre.
Yeah, hang in there, Pierre. We'll get to football. We'll talk about Jaden Daniels. Don't worry. Anyway, so we're going to do the NBA and NHL. And there's a couple of stories we need to tell about the leagues, too, as we go along. The Olympic team is named for the NBA from the NBA, and that's a very good team. So we'll do that. Then we'll do the NFL, of course, and then we'll do baseball. If we have time, we've got a couple of golf stories, but we'll see. So we'll pick up with the play-in tournament. We started with Philadelphia beating Miami, and Jimmy Butler got hurt in that game. You know? And so not only did the Heat lose the game, they lost Jimmy Butler for the rest of at least this series, if not for the beyond that. And then
I don't think they were going to win this series with Jimmy Butler.
No, I don't think they were. And then so they had the elimination game. They became the 9 team at that point. Miami and Chicago played for the 8, and Miami blew the Bulls out. All the elimination games were blowouts.
Bulls did not even really show up for that game.
Right. So that meant that that put Miami up against the Celtics, the 8 and the 1. Orlando up against Cleveland. Orlando 5, Cleveland 4, Indiana 6, Milwaukee 3, and Philadelphia 7, the Knicks 2. So then we started to have some games. Celtics beat Miami by like 20 points on Sunday. Cleveland is now 2-0 because they beat Orlando twice and 10 points or so and 7, something like that. But I am surprised by that because I thought that Orlando, apparently they're having offensive issues, and I don't know whether they've got injuries or what they have, but they've got some young players, Vancaro there, and who's the other guy? Wagner.
Wagner.
You know, very good.
Yep.
Yeah. But I
think the problem they're having, Chris, is experience. Because I was listening to the Cavaliers announcers on Saturday, and the color guy said they seem to be going through what we went through last year with experience.
Yeah, Jim Tone. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Milwaukee surprised me, and if Bill wants to talk about it, they wiped out in the first game. They wiped out the Indiana, and again without Giannis, I thought that there was going to be a pretty and Indiana had their number, including a victory in Las Vegas at the tournament. So
yeah,
I'm guessing, Bill, you'd rather forget about it, right?
Well, no, there's no point forgetting about it. You better remember it, or it'll be 0-2. I believe that when Halliburton doesn't show up or doesn't have a good game, then the Pacers are not going to be engaged. And they're not going to be able, I'm not even sure they'll win a game in this series, to be totally honest with you. I thought they had potential because they beat them 4 out of 5 during the season, but there's a big difference between playoffs and the season.
Go ahead, Sean. Go ahead, Sean, real quick.
Did he raise his hand?
Yeah. Hit his button again.
There we go. All right. Yeah. A big part of it, I think, is the Damian Lillard trade back in the offseason paid off on Saturday night when Giannis wasn't there. They call him Dame Dollars. He lighted it up. He lit it up there. Perfect English. Yeah. I think that's a huge part of what hurt Indiana. I mean, if he wasn't there, I think it would have been a lot closer without Giannis. And Giannis is still going to be out tonight. I don't think he's playing.
Yeah, he's
either,
not playing
we'll
tonight.
See,
but, nope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, and the Knicks have beaten Philadelphia twice, and they hadn't played each other since 1989. I asked David USX, found it for us. We keep hearing Maxey was supposed to be sick. He played. He had a great game. Embiid, they're probably monitoring his minutes, but, you know, he's been playing. So, and they beat him 104-101 last night, a close game. There haven't been a lot of close, about three close games out of all these games so far.
No,
so,
and you know, of course, Embiid was complaining about officiating after the game last night, but it's like, you know, when you blow a 5-point lead in 9 seconds, you really can't blame anybody but yourself for that.
No. So in the West, the Lakers beat New Orleans in the play-in game. And in that game, Zion Williamson, who had never played until that night, who had scored 40 points that night, Tuesday night, in a postseason game for the Pelicans, got hurt because that's what he does. However, he did play 70 games this year. So we have to give him that. So a little bit better. But supposedly, I've heard he's got an eating issue, and that's not the right place to play if you're going to have an eating issue. It's too much good food. So the Lakers beat New Orleans, so they moved into the seventh seed. Sacramento beat Golden State in the elimination. Again, the Warriors got blown out, and that's how those games went. And then New Orleans beat Sacramento in the elimination game. So that, and of course, without Zion. So New Orleans is the eighth seed, playing Oklahoma City. Then we have Dallas as the four seed playing the Clippers, the five seed playing the Clippers. And now Kawhi Leonard is out, of course, but that happens every year, at least for part of the playoffs. Phoenix at Minnesota, Phoenix 6, Minnesota 3, and the Lakers 7 and Denver 2. And Oklahoma City beat New Orleans 94-92, and that was a pretty good game. I didn't hear it. It was too late on Sunday night, but
it was a very good game. I heard it. So yes, it was very good.
Mm-hmm. The Clippers beat Dallas pretty easily.
Yep.
Minnesota beat Phoenix easily, and that surprised me because Phoenix had their number this year. So, you know, they turned it on for the playoffs. I mean, it's one game. It's not, you know, anything big. But Denver has a two-game lead on the Lakers because they've beaten them twice. They blew them out once and then beat them 101-99 with a last-second shot. So
yeah, they came they came from 20 points down to win that game last night.
Yeah. So tonight, we'll just do tonight's schedule. We have Phoenix at Minnesota at 7:30. We have Indiana at Milwaukee at 8:30. Then we have Dallas at the Clippers at 10. So that's our Tuesday night game. So we figure I will just tell you about those. And then for NBA stories.
Hold on just a second. Hold on. Okay. Go ahead, Sean.
Okay. Well, really, like you said, there were only three competitive games so far in these first 11 games of the playoffs. You've only had three, you know, except the Philadelphia Knicks game last night, the Denver Lakers and Oklahoma City, New Orleans. You had to wait all day for that game on Sunday. And you know, every team, every home team so far is up. All of them that are up two, you know, in the two games. So a road team has not won yet. I'm sure that's going to change eventually. Somebody might, like, I'm thinking maybe Dallas or I don't know, but yeah, maybe Orlando. But like I said, Orlando is a young team, but they're pretty young.
Mm-hmm. So we had the retirement this week of Blake Griffin. He announced his retirement. He hadn't played this past year. He's property of the Celtics. He had played well in the league 14 years, but he missed his first year because he broke his kneecap in training camp. So just played 13 years, really. And he first pick in the NBA draft in 2009. He played college at Oklahoma. Then he played for the Clippers from 10 to 18, Detroit in 19 through 21, and then Brooklyn 21-22. And he was with the Celtics last year, just played a little bit. Six-time All-Star, and he sat out this year. People were some of the Celtics people were trying to get him to come back. Some of the players were talking to him. He was 35 years old. And here's the big kind of if he was a good a player that people were more familiar with, this would be a big story, but it's not. Jontae Porter has gotten himself, younger brother of Michael Porter Jr., has a lifetime ban from the and I didn't hear about anything about appeal, so maybe he can't do anything about it. He plays for Toronto. He played many prop bets that he then influenced. Through another person.
What he would do, Chris, is he would play in a game, and then he would like fake an injury or say he was sick. But what he would be doing is he would be placing these bets, you know, like on himself and things like that. Unfortunately, when you do that, you make it pretty easy to get caught.
Oh yeah.
Go ahead,
he didn't
Sean.
Even
go ahead,
have somebody place them for him.
Right. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, well, because part of it was Porter is there is no appeal process because the way they found out, and this is the one thing you can say about the legalized gambling, because they want to stay right. This DraftKings is where he did a bunch of them, plus this Athletic U.S. Integrity group that monitors. They were the ones reporting him because they noticed that it was in a Clippers game and a Grizzlies game. That's where the first alerts. And in one of the games on March 20th, that they noticed, because they gave somebody bet 80 grand, won 1.1 million, but DraftKings reported it right away and they did not pay that out. So whatever you say about the gambling and that, you know, hey, they are self-reporting to the leagues.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of their partnership. They and FanDuel and MGM, you know, the big ones, they will do that, I'm sure.
And Jonte, and Jonte was such a big star, Chris. I had never heard of him until this.
No. Okay. We have an Olympic team. You've heard of these people. The Olympic team was named. Steph Curry is one of the point guards, along with Tyrese Halliburton for Indiana. Curry, of course, the Warriors. Then Holiday, you know, for the Celtics will be there. And the two guards are Devin Booker and Anthony Edwards. The threes, the power forwards, are Kevin Durant and Jason Tatum. The fours are LeBron and Kawhi Leonard, if he's not hurt. And the centers are going to be Joel Embiid, even though he's from Cameroon, but maybe he has some.
He's an American citizen.
American citizen now. And then Anthony Davis, and then Bam Adebayo. And you know, so that's the Olympic team. Not a much better team than I think they fielded for last year for the World Cup. And we have a new coach in Brooklyn, Jordi Fernandez from Spain, hired by the Nets. Associate head coach with Sacramento last year and an assistant with Denver for a few years before that. He's only 41 years old. That seems to be the trend nowadays, to get these guys like Ime Udoka and those guys who are a little younger. They feel like maybe they can relate to the players better, but then you try to, and Joe Mazzulla, maybe you put a veteran guy around them or whatever. So the only other NBA thing, and it leads into the NHL, is we have people here doing their last television series for our Boston teams in the playoffs. And of course, they only get to do the first parts of the first round or whatever they can do. By Mike Gorman for the Celtics, after 35 years, is retiring. We knew that at the beginning of the year. And it was announced that Jack Edwards, who's been doing the Bruins since 05-06, is retiring. And that was also announced the last Tuesday, a week ago tonight. So he'll be doing, I think he's a little reluctant to retire, but his vision's been going. People have been commenting on him. So transitioning to the NHL, unless somebody has any other NBA to talk about before we go to
that's
hockey.
It.
And all right, just get Pierre can hit the snooze. We were almost done. Washington and the Rangers. So the setup for the matchups, we have Washington and the Rangers playing, and the Islanders and Carolina in the East, Tampa Bay and Florida, and the Bruins and Toronto. So, and in the West, the matchups are Dallas and Vegas, Denver at Winnipeg, Nashville at Vancouver, and the Kings are at Edmonton for the third year in a row. And Kings have lost the first two, so we'll see if they can finally win one. In the East so far, the Rangers beat Washington on Sunday, so that's a 1-0 lead for them. Carolina beat the Islanders again last night. They beat them Saturday, and this time the Islanders had a 3-0 lead, and Carolina came back and beat them 5-3. So that, you know, the Islanders are in trouble here. They're down 2-0 and going,
and they,
you know,
came
back.
They came back quick. Rick would be proud. I was watching the hockey last night at that point in time, and they scored like two goals in what, 10 or 15 seconds. So that was quick.
Yeah,
good man, Terry.
There you go. And then we got, and he can talk about a little hockey. He can talk about this. The Bruins are tied with Toronto, one game apiece, and the big controversy. And you know, they lost last night. They won easily on Saturday. The big controversy around here. They've been alternating goalies right through the season, and they started Jeremy Swayman on Saturday night, and they went to Linus Ullmark last night. And I don't think it was Ullmark's fault, but the Bruins didn't play as well by any means as they had on Saturday either. So I don't know. Now they're going to be obviously going back to Swayman because he lost. So on tomorrow night in Toronto, they'll be playing Swayman. But what do you think of this whole situation, Rick? And did the Bruins have enough heart to win a series anymore?
I don't know. I mean, like you say, it was not Ullmark's fault last night, but the Bruins played terrible. And one thing that hurt was the defenseman Pete got hurt. He wasn't out there on the power play when the Maple Leafs scored the tying goal, which hurt them, I think. They're definitely going back to Swayman. I wonder what happens if Swayman plays great again. Do they go back to Omaha in the fourth game or not? I don't know.
I don't think so. I'm a Swayman guy, generally. I mean, Omaha was playing better for a while there early in, like, around, I don't know, the middle of the year. But I'm generally a Swayman guy, so that's me. And Florida beat Tampa Bay in their game. So tonight, and then going to the West, we have Vegas beat Dallas. We had Winnipeg beat Colorado. And of course, Vegas beat Dallas. That's a road game. Hey, it happens in the NHL a lot more often. And of course, Toronto beat the Bruins. Winnipeg, Colorado, Vancouver beat Nashville. That's a home team. And Edmonton beat the Kings. So that's 1-0 for all that. And the two in the East, Carolina has the 2-0 lead. The Bruins and Leafs are tied 2-1 apiece. So tonight we have Washington at the Rangers at 7, Tampa Bay at Florida at 7:30, Colorado at Winnipeg at 9:30, and Nashville at Vancouver at 10. So that's your Tuesday night hockey. And I had a couple of hockey stories that we should tell before we get to the NFL. I told you about Jack Edwards after this year, who'll be retiring. And I told you he started doing the games since 2005-06. And he'll be replaced by Alex Faust, who's now doing Ranger Radio. And that's what he's doing nowadays because they don't need him on TV for Bruins. The number of games are left. And then we also had, the Celtics have their replacement for Mike Gorman, but I don't remember who he is. But Buffalo fired Don Granata. And he's the eighth coach fired this year. I didn't realize it. His contract extension was just going to kick in, so why not just get him out of there now? And then and he was replaced by Lindy Ruff, who's been coach of Buffalo for many years and coming back again. And Marc-Andre Fleury is signed a one-year deal with Minnesota through the 24-25 season, which will be his last year. He has 561 victories, and he's second behind Martin Brodeur for all-time wins. He's not going to catch him because Brodeur's got 691. But anyway, that's hockey. Anything, Robert, do you want to throw in anything before we go to the NFL?
I'll bet not. Okay. He's quiet. Okay. So nope.
All right.
Hey, Chris, just one thing on that Jack Edwards thing. I don't think it was so much his sight. He's been having trouble with, and I mentioned this to a friend of Chris's mine a year or two ago, I noticed. Sometimes when he's talking, it almost seems like he's about ready to have a stroke. It's a strange thing.
Slurring his speech and stuff?
Yeah, and hesitating. And for a year or so ago, nobody said anything. And then a couple of months ago, he did come out and said he's having some kind of problem.
Yeah.
And he's gone through all kinds of medical tests, and they can't find anything wrong. But it's not getting any better. So he said he just had he wasn't able to perform up to the standard that he wanted to give a good product to the Bruins fans. So he said he was going to retire.
Yeah, and Bob Beers had a good conversation with him at some point and mentioned that on the radio, that he had some health concerns. So, yeah. Okay, so the NFL. So if we look at the top teams right now, the way they stand, and then we can just talk about what they might do and what the rumors are, because we don't have anything definite yet. We still have the Bears with the number one pick. Looks like they're going to take Caleb Williams.
I think that's pretty much set.
I don't think the Patriots even had him here for one of those interviews. I think everybody knows he's not going to be beyond that. Then Washington is 2. Patriots
and the rumor there, hold on, Chris, the rumor at 2 is that the Commanders, I was hearing this morning, are very strongly leaning toward Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, that's who I want.
Then the Patriots at 3 are leaning toward Drake May. And then the rumor I heard this morning, and maybe you've heard something, Rick, better than this one, but the rumor I heard this morning is the Vikings would like to move up to number 4 if they can, because they want J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, they're gonna move up somewhere. It's either the Patriots or Arizona, or if nothing else, the Chargers. Because I'm sure the Chargers would be willing to move down with no problem. They want McCarthy. You know, I don't think that if Arizona makes their pick, they're not going to pick a quarterback.
No.
So if the first 3 picks go down as quarterbacks and McCarthy's still there, then the Vikings could trade with the Chargers and get him.
Yeah. Because and the thing is, there were some rumors. You said you heard something, Perry, about maybe they would even trade their own quarterback, Herbert.
Well, yeah, Sean, you were saying, Sean, you heard that the Chargers might be willing to trade Justin Herbert.
Yeah,
I don't know that I would do that, but go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if I would, but it would make sense. The rumor I've heard is because their Chargers are a little bit over the salary cap, and they might upset both of their fans in L.A., you know, the Chargers might. Yeah. But the rumor is it would be Justin Herbert going to Minnesota for several draft picks because Harbaugh, he likes Justin Herbert, but he thinks he could win with McCarthy. And if they got a Minnesota's pick that they have at 11 and Houston's pick at 23 and some others, they could get some receivers because this is a very receiver-heavy, very deep at receiver this draft is. So yep. But that's speculation, basically. I wouldn't do it, but I could see where they might look into it. Yeah.
Now,
well,
and
I suppose if you think about it, if you think about it, Rick, with McCarthy, Harbaugh has already won with him. So, I mean, he could at least make that argument to his owner. Hey, I've already won with this guy, so I know I can.
Yeah. Yeah, and Harbaugh is a coach that likes to run the ball anyway.
Yep.
So it's, you know, but it's Antonio Brown, who we all know is a whack job.
Yep.
But he has actually come out with a couple of things in the last couple of months that have come true. He called long before it happened, Russell Wilson going to the Steelers, and he called something else. I can't remember words, but it came true. Now, he came out this week and said he believed that Herbert, first of all, he said Herbert's finger from his surgery isn't totally healed. And he said he believes he's going to the Vikings for their left tackle, and I can't remember his name, but he's an all-pro, plus their two first-round picks and a second-round pick next year.
Wow.
And if that happens, then you would expect McCarthy to go to the Chargers.
Go to the Chargers, right, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see. And then what about the Giants there at six?
This is crazy because, a month or so ago, I thought we were all set. The top three were going to be the three big quarterbacks. Then the next three, there's three great receivers. Like Sean said, it's a big receiver class, but there's three kind of heads above the other. And the next three were probably going to go to Arizona, the Chargers, and the Giants because they all need receivers. But now, you know, the Giants are talking about maybe they'll trade back. They may even – this scares me. They say they could trade up with the Patriots for the three and take a quarterback. And if they're going to have to give so much that if they miss on that quarterback, that's going to mess them up for years to come.
Well, not only that, they're still paying Daniel Jones unless they
But it's only one after this year they can get out from his contract pretty easily.
Okay.
So you may want the quarterback sitting for a year, and who knows? We don't even know that Daniel Jones is going to be ready for the beginning of the season.
Yeah, that's true, because that was quite an injury. And that was fair. When was that game? It was fairly late that he got hurt against the Raiders.
Yeah, I think it was like midseason. It was against the Raiders.
Yeah.
What did you think, Rick, about we were talking about it earlier. What did you think about the trade yesterday? I was listening to Charlie Weiss this morning, and he thinks the Zach Wilson to Denver trade does not move the needle one bit for Denver, because he said, although Zach Wilson, you know, from what you hear, he's a very nice person. But he said the guy can't move the ball down the field.
Yeah, and it's Denver's, I think, is in a tough spot. They'd like to move up to get a quarterback, but I don't know that they have the draft, you know, the
draft capital, we call it.
They're still paying for the Russell Wilson trade, you know.
Right. Yeah. Well, then we've got another thing that came out, and actually people have been talking about this for a while. We kind of knew about this around here. But we suspected this kind of thing had happened. Arthur Blank, they was ready to hire Bill Belichick as coach because Belichick said that he didn't need full control and he just coached the team. But Blank called Robert Kraft, and I think the owners get to know each other. There's only 32 of them, and they get to talk to each other. And, you know, if you're – I mean, some of them hate each other, of course. But, you know, if you have a relationship, you call and say, hey, what do you think? You know, and Kraft said, no, don't hire him because, you know, he won't do it. That's not the way he's going to operate. He'll try to take control even if he says he's not. He's disruptive. And also Washington did the same deal. I guess Josh Harris talked to Kraft as well. And, you know, Robert's being vindictive. We know that. But he might be right. I mean, I just don't know how easy is it for somebody who's been a supervisor in charge of something to just be one of the soldiers, you know what I mean, after all these years.
I wonder, Chris, is it he's vindictive, yes, but he's right at the same time because vindictive, certainly. I mean, could it be? I just don't want to see him coach anywhere else, and then he goes out as our guy.
Well, you know, what I'm thinking is if you're you know, you've got to compete with these teams. You're going to have games with these teams, you know, and you're going to – they're the other conference, but still, you play them every once in a while. And you might play one of those crossover games, too, every once in a while. So, he's wonderful. Just take them. It's going to be great. I mean, you know, why not? Screw your opponent.
Yeah.
But
go ahead, Sean.
Another reason – it's hard to figure one way that Kraft did this, because one advantage would have been if Belichick had gone there. Right now, yep. Kraft is paying his salary.
That's true.
Right? Yeah.
Go ahead, Sean.
Well, yeah, first of all, it was actually Magic Johnson that reached out, and then Kraft went to Harris. But now here's the train wreck that I've heard, that now would Kraft interfere in this, because I know him and this guy are friends, but I've heard that Jarrah is waiting, that part of this is Kraft maybe wants to get him to Jarrah next year if Mike McCarthy does not work out. And can you imagine the train wreck of Belichick? Can you see those two personalities? I mean, Belichick doesn't like a lot of his people doing radio shows, but Jarrah, the owner, has his own radio show every Tuesday morning. I would love to see that, just to see the train wreck in Dallas, or to see what would go on, man. That would be great.
Well, to be fair, Tom Brady did have one every week, so, you know, that did happen. As a matter of fact, that's where he said, I don't know anything about Deflategate at all. I don't know anything about this. That's where he said it first.
But he's right. It could be a train wreck if that were to happen, because you would have two. But then I suppose if you take the other side of it, what if Belichick would just decide, you know what, I want one more Super Bowl, and I'm just going to go in there and do what I can to get that one more Super Bowl. It could go either way.
What I would do if I were Belichick is, before I did it, I would talk to Jimmy Johnson and say, how did you deal with this guy? I mean, you weren't there long. I get it. I know you had to leave, blah, blah, blah. But what would you tell me to do or not to do to get maybe 2 years out of the deal, just to see if we can win? You know, that's what I would do if I were him. But
yeah, I'm sure he would like to. I mean, for years we had this conversation here, whether it's Brady or Belichick. Brady won a Super Bowl without him. I'm sure Belichick would like to get his, you know?
Yeah, that's right. And but they say that's the only place he would coach. Now, they also, part of that little thing that I heard last week was that he is also interested, if the Eagles or Giants came open, he would be interested. No, he wants the NFC East. Wants to get back
in the
NFC East.
You know, if you see the Giants at 2-7 here, I think Daboll's got to be looking over his shoulder, because Belichick and the Maris have always been friendly.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, and then, you know, and the other thing that people have been watching and been commented on a lot around here is that Dynasty documentary. And it's not a real documentary. I wouldn't call it that, because it's produced by Robert Kraft, his company, some company he had. So basically, it's a Kraft self-serving piece. It's like political advertising, really, for Kraft. So it's glorifying Kraft.
If you wanted to see it, where would you
Apple,
see it?
Apple.
Yeah.
Okay.
On it, yeah. And the thing is, people, because they were watching it with bated breath around here during the you know, the last couple of months, and we, you know, Felger and Maz and them, they were talking about it all the time. And good old Matt Ryan finally retired. This is the week, finally, these people who haven't played for 2 years are finally retiring. And he sat out a year, but he's finally retiring. Maybe there's contractual reason that he didn't tell us that he was retiring before.
And I think I heard he's also going to start doing games for Fox.
He'll be good. He's good. I've heard him talk, you know, when he's been on interviews on BC games, when he's come back for games, and he'll be good. He'll do a good job, I'm sure.
Now, Rick, you were not with us last week, Rick, so I want to give you a chance on this one. Tom Brady said that he wouldn't be opposed to coming back. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Tom Brady can only take so much time with the kids. Then he has to get out of there.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. He's apparently involved with the Lakers, or the Lakers, the Raiders, in some manner, and he's going to be doing games for Fox. If he's a minority owner, he would have to sell his stake in the team. Robert, go ahead.
I think he likes publicity. That's my quick
thought. Well, there's no doubt there. Go ahead, Robert.
A couple of things here. Number one, that deal still has not gone through with him being a minority owner of the Raiders.
Right.
But number two, remember I told you, Chris, I read that Jonathan Kraft would like to take things over. Apparently, he's not happy with the way that Robert is doing things. So I wonder if there's going to be dissension in the Kraft family.
We went to a thing, Rick will remember this, and I don't know how to explain this, but you got the vibe that Jonathan Kraft was not a pleasant person.
No.
He probably had a few drinks. And it was 2000 before Gillette opened, and they had they wanted some disabled people to sort of walk around and tour some of the things they're going to do for disabled people. And we got set up for that. Rick and I went down, and we got to go. They paid for a cab to come and get us, and all this was great. So we actually heard from Bill Belichick. He'd only been on the job for like 2 months and got up and spoke quickly, about 2 minute speech. But Robert was complaining about everybody. He was sitting over. He was at Jonathan. And I knew his voice because he's been on the radio tons of times. And he's sitting very near us. He goes, oh, this one is a jerk. So I don't know about Jonathan. He might also be a piece of work.
That night, Chris, there was some kind of dinner for some of the season ticket holders.
Yes.
And a season ticket holder showed up with his kid. The kid was like 8 or 9 years old. And the kid had a Barry Sanders shirt on. And Jonathan Kraft was not happy. He gave him hell for wearing that to a Patriots thing.
Oh, jeez. God, give me a break, Jonathan. I think Robert likes to be the center of attention, and I think Jonathan has been in his shadow for long enough. He's saying, look, I'm however old I am, and this guy's 80 years old, and I'm still having to, yes, dad, no dad, kind of stuff. And so I think he's trying to orchestrate some of these trade. There's supposedly people are saying the Patriots are more interested in trading their pick than like the Commanders are. So that he may be involved in trying to orchestrate something. And that's right, Robert. The Raiders are supposed to be trying to talk to everybody move up.
Now, consequently, if you hear, you hear that about Jonathan, but then you hear a lot of people say that the Cowboys would be better off if Jerry would ever just let Steven run the show.
Right. Well, I'm not sure they wouldn't. I'm not saying Jonathan would do a bad job. I have no idea. No. I'm just saying he just seemed like a crab the night we saw him. He was right next to he was like behind the table behind us or something. He was right there. And we should talk for a minute about Roman Gabriel, because he was a great quarterback. He played, he was a Filipino American, and I did not know that. He was born, and his mother was American, his father was Filipino. He was born in 1940, went to North Carolina State, and then he was drafted number one in the NFL, second in the AFL, and number one in the NFL in 62. And he played for the Rams from 62 to 72, and then the Eagles from 73 to 77. He threw 201 touchdown passes and 30 rushing touchdowns. He was a big dude, so he could pound in there. MVP in 69 when the Rams finally made the playoffs, and then, or the second year in the playoffs, I guess. 73, the comeback player for the Eagles, and 4 Pro Bowls. So what do you remember about Roman Gabriel, Rick?
I remember him beating the Giants.
30 to 3 was that? That was the score. I think.
31 to 3. Yeah.
31 to 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was that. He was good, but he had some good receivers. The offense, they never quite put it together. They never could get over the hump for whatever reason.
I mean, his only real downfall, he was a big guy, but he was a statue. He found his spot in the pocket, and he just stayed there.
Yeah. And one of the things I found out, Rick, our favorite historic team, the 1983 Breakers, he was the offensive coordinator for the Breakers.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. How about that?
That high-powered offense.
Chris Russo was talking about him yesterday, and he said the biggest thing that he had with him is in the late 60s, they never quite won the big game.
Nope.
Yeah.
No. Well, they had to play the Packers in the big game. That was part of the one game, big game they did win was they knocked off the undefeated Colts, killed the undefeated Colts to get into the playoffs that first year when we had the four divisions. But then they always had to beat the Packers, and the games were both in Green Bay. They had to go by record, I think, and both games were in Green Bay. So that didn't do them.
Well, the one that he was talking about that they should have won that they didn't win is the year they lost to the Vikings.
Yeah, that yeah,
and
that's
he said
right.
They should have had that one.
It's like they had situations with the Vikings. That
He also said that they had good receivers, like Jack Snow and all those people.
Yep.
So he said
yep.
There's no reason that they shouldn't have been winning some of these games.
Yeah, they should have. They should have. So anyway, so anything else that we got on the NFL before we move
just
to
one,
baseball?
Just one thing, kind of a warning with this draft coming up. They say there's 4 to 6 really good quarterback prospects here. Remember a couple of years ago, we had 5 quarterbacks drafted in the top 15, and 4 of them aren't even on the team they were drafted by then.
Nope.
It's only Lawrence who's still doing anything. So.
That's right.
You never know what these guys.
People also, and I don't know what you've been hearing, Rick, but people are kind of thinking that it's become the big four, that McCarthy has moved up, but there's a bit of a gap between
Between McCarthy and Penix and Mix.
Nick. So we'll see what happens. And
quarterbacks are always a crapshoot, though. Because everybody told. Remember when the Bears took Field? He was supposed to be the next coming.
Yep.
And now he's on. Sean, go ahead real quick.
Yep.
Well, I would agree with what you're saying on that. I think Michael Penix is probably going to be the biggest bust of the six. Nick, I think, is going to be okay, but not great. But, yeah, I think these other four, if they're in the right situation, because, as we know, you go to the Bears, what is Caleb Williams? And, really, I don't think he's going to be the best one, because last year he was kind of a letdown in college. I think Daniel's probably going to end up being the best quarterback out of the whole group.
That's who I'd take if I had, could just take. If I were three and the Redskins took May, I would definitely take Daniels. But I'd try to think about maybe moving up to take Daniels, because he's the prototype of the quarterbacks who run around. And the one knock on him, which you might have seen with Richardson for the Colts this year, that he might run too much. And he's run first, pass second. And that's dangerous.
See, and I see it a little bit different than Sean does. Sean says that he thinks that Penix is a little bit below. I think from what I saw of him last year, I think Penix is going to be okay if he's in the right situation. I think he'll be okay.
Yeah.
Robert, what
and
do you
people
think?
worried about Penix with his injury history.
Yeah, that's it. Robert, what do you think?
The Raiders are one of those teams that need a quarterback, and they really want Jaden Daniels because Antonio Pierce coached them in college.
That's why they're talking about moving up, bugging people about moving up.
They said they're going to try to do everything to get up there. They said if they can't get him, the next quarterback that they've been impressed with all the workouts, watching all the film, would be Michael Penix. And I know he had a good year, but he also had a very lousy championship game. Now, I'm sure Michigan had a lot to do with that. But for those of you that follow college football, is he as bad as the championship game, or is he as good? Is he as good as his rest of the year?
It's probably somewhere in between, if I were to guess. But I was a little. I was impressed with him in the games that I saw last year.
Yeah, there were some Washington games where they were really throwing the ball down the field a lot, and we had to come from behind. And they to get to that championship game, Michigan had a relative cakewalk compared to what Washington had. That's for sure. Yeah.
Now, Bill, you guys saw him. Penix, when he was in
Indiana, and all I'm going to tell you,
what did you think?
Good, but he had two ACL injuries at Indiana, so I would kind of think maybe there might be some health issues where he's concerned.
Oh, well, so far, Bill, I can tell you that he's passed every physical that he's been given so far. So apparently, the NFL teams are not worried about his.
Well, the thing is, Robert, what we seem to find, and we don't know, but it seems like the people who get those things. Brady's unusual in that he got one of those kind of things, and that's all he had in 20 years. Usually, if a guy gets one, he gets three. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's kind of like the Tommy John surgeries, Chris. That's kind of the way I look at it.
Yeah. You know?
Same kind of thing.
Any more on football before we lead with Robert's
just
clever?
Just one real quick story on football, since we don't really have any college today. This guy played in the NFL, Ed Podolak, who has done Iowa football for 42 years, is retiring from the football radio booth. He's going to kind of live life a little bit. So congratulations to Eddie Podolak.
Is Gary Dauphin still going to be there?
I have not heard that he isn't.
Okay.
Hopefully they do. I hope they do as well with the Podolak hire as they did with the women's basketball hire, because the women's basketball analyst of a year ago, I didn't care for her. That I really liked the one this past season.
I liked her,
But not the one the year before that. She was. Okay. I don't need a cheerleader. Thank you.
Okay. Even though you live in the Midwest, and that's what you're supposed to want. That's what they tell us.
No, I want. I want somebody who's going to tell me the way it is, because what I mean by tell me the way it is. You heard Chris when we were in the our Friday night conference, and they called that charge. You didn't hear Tiffany Reedy just come out, "Oh, it was a great call. It was a great call." She said, they're not showing us a replay in the building, so I can't tell you if it was a good call or not.
That's what I like about Grandy and Max. They don't try to, unlike Mr. Johnny Most, who refereed every game, they do not try to referee. They wait for the replay and they say, no, I don't see it. Or, no, they, you know, and when they say the Celtics get ripped off, I believe them because they don't say it very often. Other announcers you can't believe, you know?
No. And I think this year, if she would have said that that it was good or bad, I probably would have believed it because.
Yeah.
And I think if a Dolphin would retire, I think Rob Brooks would probably be the replacement,
yeah,
if I were to guess.
Yeah, he did a good job with the women, so why not? Okay, baseball.
Okay, happy draft week, guys.
We'll talk to you next week, Rick. Because we'll actually have stuff that happened instead of stuff that might happen. Okay. Okay, so one of the first things that we've had come through the system was some stuff with, what's his name? I can't think of his name. The guy that works for the NFL Network. Rich Eisen did some talk with Jess Passan and talking about, can we ever get rid of Angel Hernandez? And what the thing seems to be, they think, and what Passan said that I thought was the most interesting when I listened to that thing, was that, you know, the new system, if they bring it in with the challenges, would prove how bad he is, and he might, you know, maybe he'd leave. But also, there was calls, I guess, that he made that were worse, and worse. In the Houston, Texas game, and I don't remember whether it was against the Astros or the Rangers, but either way, if you get challenged and you lose as an umpire, then maybe you're a little more honed in on the next couple of pitches. So I thought that was interesting.
Angel is just one of those, and I mean, we've all known it for years, he's always the worst rated umpire.
Right.
So, I mean, there is no, I don't think anybody would be sad to see him go.
No,
but you know how that is.
He won a suit against them, didn't he?
He did.
So I'm wondering.
I think it was settled. Is actually the way.
Yeah.
They...
So the thing is, though, of course, he'd go right to court. But so what? I mean, you're losing so much face with dealing with this guy that you just need to move on. And yeah, I think they've got the right to do it because they've let some umpires go in midseason before.
Right.
So I don't know why they're not doing it. So one interesting thing we had in baseball, Jack Leiter pitched, made his MLB debut for Texas and against Detroit. And Jack is the son of Al Leiter, and his uncle is Mark Leiter, and his son is Mark Leiter Jr. Mark and Al both played in the majors, and these cousins, Mark and Jack, are now playing in the majors. So we've got the first time ever that two fathers and two sons that are brothers had people in the major league.
The only difference is, and I mean, I think Jack will be okay down the line. The only difference is I think Mark has like a one ERA in Jack. His ERA is quite a bit higher than that. But he gave up like seven runs or something like that. And he said what happened was in the minor leagues, you know, things you can kind of keep in control. And he said things just got too fast and ahead of him.
Yeah. So Shohei Ohtani.
But he will learn from that.
Mm-hmm. Shohei Ohtani has already set the Japanese home run record with 176 as of the other day, passing Hideki Matsui, who had 175. And Matsui was here a lot longer. I mean, I asked Ms. A, and Shohei came up in 2018, and he's already at 175, considering all the pitching and so forth. And Ichiro had 117, so that's the top Japanese home run hitter, and very quickly.
And he passed Hideki Matsui.
Yes, he did. So we were, Perry and I came up with a topic because I just suggested to Perry on our phone system. Now I'm starting to do the baseball standings each week. And we just thought might want to talk about if we know anything about them, or just people can throw in if they what their opinion about surprisingly good teams and surprisingly bad teams. And on the surprisingly good side, the Guardians, who are 16-6, and Stephen Vogt has stepped right into Terry Francona's job. And I thought that's why I picked them down in the standings, because I figured, oh, they'd lose something without Francona. But he's got them playing pretty well.
And you know what what's causing it? The Guardians are hitting.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody always thought that would be the problem with the Guardians is could they hit? And the Guardians are hitting.
Yes.
Robert, go ahead. Good with your thought on the Guardians.
As far as Cleveland, I've seen because the A's are done with the Guardians already. I've seen six games of there, and Stephen Vogt has them playing wonderfully. And when he Stephen Vogt was a longtime A, and he played with the Giants and the Diamondbacks mm-hmm. and a few other teams. And Bob Melvin said when he first got Stephen Vogt, he said, "Well, there's a manager in waiting. He's very knowledgeable about the game. He knew he was going to be a manager. He didn't think it would be this quick." But he said now, Bob Melvin said now that he is, he's going to be one of the all-time best managers because he knows how to communicate with players. He said, "When I was manager of Oakland, I didn't have to worry about anything because Stephen ran the clubhouse."
That's one of the fads I think in baseball these days is they like if they can get a good one. The teams like to hire the younger manager to, you know, to run the teams because maybe just like you said earlier, Chris, maybe they feel that the younger guys can deal better with the player.
Right, and then on the other side of the ledger we have the White Sox. They are
knew that was coming.
We knew that was coming because they just have no organization. They're not. You know, have nothing going right and didn't expect to. They've also had injuries. Lewis Robert got hurt, and that's their best player, so there's that.
But,
so,
you know, I was listening to Dan Gladden and Atterbury last night on the Twins radio, Chris, and Dan said, here's the thing with the White Sox. He said they're 3-18, but now 19. He said, here's the problem. He said, I try to think, you know, as a person, you know, what is the plan? He said, this organization does not have a plan.
Right.
Because he said, if they do, I don't know what in the world it is. And obviously, Dan's been around a while.
Now, here's an organization with no plan, but Robert would want to talk about these Oakland A's. Not that it's a great record, but it's 9-14 and much better than last year.
That's
and
right.
The Red Sox did sweep them, and, you know, those were, you know, a couple of close games. But how are they doing as well as they are? When they were playing the Red Sox, I didn't know who any of them were. So just explain this to me, Robert.
Go ahead.
Robert, go ahead.
You're good, Robert.
Hang on.
Go ahead.
Am I unmuted?
Yep.
Yes, you are, Robert.
Okay, all right. Sorry.
You're on the air,
that.
Caller. Go ahead.
That's okay. I'm absolutely amazed. I mean, this team has nobody to play in front of when they're at home. I mean, nobody shows up, nobody cares. And the Bay Area media has said, okay, you're leaving, we're not going to talk about you. But I think because of all that, they've took it upon themselves, just, you know, hey, you know what, we're just going to play as good as we can, and maybe we'll shock a few people. And I think that's what they're in the process of doing. Now, are they going to make the playoffs? No. But at this point, I would be thrilled if they wound up, say, with a 500 record. Or something.
Oh, yeah.
And Robert, that was a very nice win for them yesterday.
Oh, well, I'm sure you guys are going to mention this, but with all the craziness that took place in the first inning, I wasn't sure what kind of game we were going to get. But both sides pitched very well yesterday, and the Yankee pitcher made the mistake, and the A's took advantage of it. But this is what I'm talking about. A lot of teams are probably going to be looking at this team like, well, we don't know who any of these guys are. Maybe we'll take them a little lightly, and, you know, who knows?
And what Robert is talking about, for those who didn't hear or see the game yesterday, five pitches into the game, Hunter Wendelstedt, who's generally a very good umpire. He's not the Angel Hernandez. He's usually very good. But he was getting some flack from the Yankee dugout. Well, eventually he ejected Aaron Boone, and Boone comes out and he says, I didn't do it. He said it was a fan behind the dugout who did it, which it turned out it was. And Hunter Wendell says, I don't care who did it. You're gone.
That's ridiculous.
But like I say, I mean, you guys have seen enough baseball. Hunter Wendell said generally is very good.
Son of Harry, too.
That's right. Yeah. That's usually not like him to do that.
No, and Susan was all over that. She said that is ridiculous because I was listening to her and she, you know, she heard the fan, and I think I heard the fan on the mic. I don't know what he said, but I heard a voice, very loud voice. And so,
well,
after
the game, she and Justin Shackle were having fun with it. He said, "Gosh, I wonder if we'd have said something. Would he have ejected us?" Susan said, "Well, today he probably would have."
That's right.
Well, another thing that was interesting about that yesterday was, you know, how they have the field mic for the TV. You could hear everything very clearly. And I don't know what was said, but all of a sudden the person had to bleep out several things. So
I don't know what inspired them to do a Monday afternoon game. I mean, they're not the Tigers. Tigers do it because they think it's too cold there, and they do it till the end of April and do, like, day games. Yankees never do that, and, you know, I don't think their crowd was very big yesterday.
Apparently, I was 30,000 there yesterday, Chris.
Well, that for them, that's a little small, not super small.
Apparently, the reason why they did it is that was their celebration of the beginning of Passover. So.
That's right. That's right. So Susan got to call the game. She might have not been there. That's right, too. Okay.
Yeah.
And another team, Chris, that we want to bring up while we're talking about disappointment is obviously the Twins, because and their problem is injury. Clearly, that team has been decimated with injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, Correa's out. Royce Lewis is out. Some of their pitchers are out. So
the Red Sox have been really hit hard, too, as you may know, Perry. But somehow they're 13-10, and they are strange. They are 10-3 on the road and 3-7 at home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is weird. So they're going to, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they're going to be any good or get in the playoffs. They're going to be weird. I can promise you that. They already are. That I can tell you. And Houston, is it injuries for them, Perry? They're 7-16.
I don't know that theirs is injuries. They're just not performing.
Yeah, that is weird.
Now, Jennifer, I've gotten a chance to talk to Bill about this earlier, so we'll give you your chance, too. What's up with the Reds?
Boy, I don't know. They are very inconsistent, and when they hit, all kinds of things happen. But last night, they didn't get hit number one. So, of course, they lost like 7-0.
Yeah.
And they're usually not shut out. And with them, it seems like it depends on who's pitching. If it's Andrew Abbott, they seem to do really well because they know they're going to have a good chance to get a win with him. And I don't know if that has something to do with psychologically their offense or what, but
I still think, and I don't know what your thoughts are, I still think that division is going to be up for grabs by the time it's said and done. I still think it's going to be probably the Cubs, the Reds, and the Brewers. I think those teams are going to be the three that we have to watch come September.
Yeah. I think you're probably right.
Are you surprised that both of you about the Brewers? That was one of the teams I was going to mention, 14-7.
A little bit, because I thought they would take a step back because of some of the players they lost. They lost their manager.
Season's not over yet.
It is not.
Oh no,
not a long shot.
I could see
it is for some teams like Miami because they're 6-18.
And then who just let them win 2 out of 4? The Cubs.
Probably the Cubs. Yeah. Well, but the Cubs aren't doing bad. They're 13-9, I think. So that's okay.
The problem the Cubs have. Kyle Hendricks has got to get he's a pitcher who command has got to be good, and if he's even off by just a tick, he's going to get hit, and he's gotten hit so far this year, so he's got to get turned around. By the way, though, speaking of baseball, not that we'll give the plug to the Book Talk show coming up, we will have some baseball information. Remember last week, Jennifer, you asked me about the baseball book. A baseball book that I had read,
right.
and I have the title of it, so we'll be able to fill in that one today.
That's good. And another team like the White Sox that is not surprising to anybody that they're 5-18 is Colorado. They just don't know how to get out of their way, and they seem to have young players, but they just don't seem to improve.
You know, Chris Bryant would be one of the players on that team, and when he was a Cub, man, was he great, but that contract, I mean, they've still got like 4 or 5 years left of it. It's like that is, and sadly for him, he just can't stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I critique Jed Hoyer as good as the next guy, and I probably always will. But as it looks now, when he traded Rizzo and Baez and Bryant, those have all, those players have not been the same since they left the Cubs.
Well, I think this has been a good feature to just sort of go around, not do the standings every week, but just once a month or so go through and just who's hot, Susan has a feature on the pregame of the Yankees, who's hot and who's not, and it can get you into some interesting discussions, and we already talk about these teams anyway, but that's just a different perspective. Maybe once a month or so we can do a who's not, who's hot and who's not, because both are interesting, and I think the Dodgers are struggling because they've got, what, about four of their starters are hurt?
Yeah, their pitching is you know, their hitting is okay. The bottom of the lineup is pretty bad, but the top of the lineup with Betts.
Mookie, and yeah.
Mookie, yeah, with Freeman and Shohei, that's a good top of the lineup. But yeah, that's something interesting to do, you know, just go around and we would like callers to call, you know, if you want to talk about a team that you think, hey, you guys didn't hit that one.
Yeah, like, hey, the Orioles in first, you didn't even talk about it. That kind
right.
of thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Book Talk is going to be in first, and it'll be coming up right after this timeout.
Recording stopped. 7, 2, 4, 4.